It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter to participate in the conversation there. Lance Meadow will join us in just a second. But first, especially with all the injuries down there in the Big D, we thought best to start off with about 5 minutes on the phone with Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com to give us the word on what's going on down in Big D to prep for this must-win game for the Giants on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. Mickey, good morning. How's everything?
Good morning. A little cool and, I should say, cold and windy here. So not a very nice day here on November 22nd.
Yeah, it's a bit windy and rainy up here as well, and it's supposed to be cold weather on Sunday, one of the coldest days of the year thus far. Mickey, let's get right to it. The Cowboys had a lot of injury concerns coming out of the bye. Who looks like they're going to be up on Sunday? Who looks like right now they're going to be down?
Well, let's start with the down list. It's, for a change, it's a little shorter than the other list. Cowboys likely will be without Sean Lee and Justin Durant, so that's two-thirds of their starting linebacker core. And one of the guys that they had projected to start for Durant at strong side linebacker, rookie Devontae Holloman, had been missed the last four games with the neck injury. He practiced this past the week ago, Wednesday, practiced Monday. And then when he tried to practice this week on Wednesday, he aggravated the neck injury, and it doesn't look like he's going to be there. So the Cowboys are going to be forced to take Kyle Wilbur, who played outside linebacker in their 3-4 defense, was moved to defensive end when they moved to the 4-3. Well, he's moved back to outside linebacker. It looks like he's going to be the strong side linebacker with veteran Ernie Mills stepping in and playing middle linebacker, which he hadn't really done much of that since he arrived here with the Cowboys. He started it strong, he started it weak, but never in the middle. So their linebacker core is hurting. Now, the good news for him is that the likes of Jason Hatcher, DeMarcus Ware, J.J. Wilcox, Morris Claiborne, they all look like they're going to be returning from injury to help out the defense. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Miles Austin has practiced for the last 2 weeks, and he looks like he's going to play for the first time in a month. So that'll help out the offense. This team has been dealing with a lot of injuries, especially on defense. When they finished the game against the Saints, they only had three of their projected starters when they went to training camp on the field actually playing.
Wow, that's unbelievable, and it probably goes a long way towards describing why their defense has had as many troubles as they've had, Mickey. How much is the return of the two defensive linemen, Ware and Hatcher, going to potentially, and I'll throw Claiborne into the mix as well, because then you could put Scandrick back in the slot on Victor Cruz, which is really a huge matchup on Sunday. How much is the returning of those three guys potentially turn this Cowboy defense around and be better than the defense that gave up the 600 total yards of offense to the Lions and the Saints?
Yeah, maybe they can get from 600 to 400 with those guys. Now, it helps out quite a bit. It certainly will help out with the pass rush. It'll help out with their run defense that was just totally crippled on that last drive when the Saints just were trying to run out the clock and get the game over, and they ran right through them for a touchdown. But I think the main thing that'll help out, as you mentioned it, is getting Morris Claiborne back to have three solid cornerbacks on the field. And look, they went through a string there playing these top-notch quarterbacks in these offense that basically the base defense was three wide receivers, and the Cowboys were out there with a rookie fourth-round draft choice, D.W. Webb, having to play in the slot. And, you know, the kid tried hard, but, boy, his head was swimming. And to have Claiborne back so that he can play on the outside when the Giants go three wide and move Skandrick into the slot against Cruz will be huge, I think, for their pass defense, providing they can get a reasonable pass rush on Eli Manning.
Mickey, final question. I want to touch back on the offensive side of the ball. It seems like the Cowboys have sacrificed some of their explosiveness on offense this year to try to protect Tony Romo, A, from opposing pass rushers, and B, trying to keep the number of turnovers down. Do you think that's an accurate assessment, or do you think the Cowboys might try to open it up a bit on Sunday against the Giants?
Well, I think it's time to open it up quite a bit. Now, that a lot of it will depend on the, you know, the weather. Not so much the cold, but I think the wind will probably affect this game. If they've sacrificed going down the field to protect Romo, they haven't protected Romo very well. It hasn't been a good trade-off because that's one of the things that they've had problems with playing against some defenses that have had pretty formidable defensive front. And teams have been able to get pressure on Romo, maybe not sack him a lot, but get pressure on him to affect his effectiveness in the pocket. I just feel like without Miles Austin on the field from a passing game standpoint, that they've been somewhat crippled with having so many young receivers out there. And if you think about it, Dez Bryant in his fourth year, but he's not exactly a salty veteran receiver, and I wouldn't say he's the guy on the team that runs, you know, the most crisp route. And then you got Terrence Williams out there, who's a rookie, and we know how difficult it usually is for rookie receivers to make the transition from college to the NFL, no matter how good they are. He's had some production, but I don't know how consistent he's been. And then you've got Cole Beasley in the slot, who's about my size, and, you know, he's pretty limited in the versatility of routes he can run. So if I'm a defensive coordinator, John, what am I doing? I'm taking out Dez Bryant, I'm taking out Jason Witten, and I'll take my chances with everything else. And that's kind of been the problem here since Miles Austin hasn't been healthy. If you get him back, now he's in the slot, and the defenses can't press the line of scrimmage. They've got to worry about Miles Austin taking them deep. They've got to worry about Miles Austin being able to run various routes out of the slot. So now you can't double Austin, Witten, and Dez Bryant. So I think that'll open things up, providing the Cowboys can block the Giants' front, and that remains to be seen.
Mickey, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We will see you on Sunday. And it looks like both offensive lines will be tested a lot in this game on Sunday afternoon. We thanks so much.
Okay, John, and I'm bringing my winter coat along.
You better. I'm not sure you guys have coats heavy enough down there in Dallas, but best of luck.
Okay.
Thanks,
see you Sunday.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. That's Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com. That's a very good quick rundown of where the Cowboys are in terms of their injuries and getting ready for this game. And now we bring in our co-host for the program. That's Lance Metta, once again on assignment on this Friday morning. Lance, we just got some nuggets there from Mickey, and it sounds like the Cowboys are counting on the fact that getting some of their better players back healthy will do a lot to A, turning around their defense, and B, turning their offense back into that explosive one we saw against the Denver Broncos earlier in the year.
And I think Mickey brought up a great point, John, regarding Miles Austin, the fact that just having Austin back on the field can draw some attention away from Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. And it's similar to what we had been talking about the last few seasons. Whether Akeem Nicks is fully healthy or not, you want him on the field because he can draw attention. So that really adds a whole new dynamic to the Cowboys' offense. And remember, this is an offense that has said coming into this season that they were going to be more balanced, but they're 31st in rushes per game. DeMarco Murray has only had at least 20 carries in each contest, so I would think they're going to continue to lean heavily on the pass, especially if Miles Austin is somewhat healthy and is ready to go.
All right, Lance, let's get right to our phone calls here. 201-939-4513, and we'll touch more on Giant stuff as we go forward. Let's go down First of all, our first caller of the show will be Ashanti down in Richmond, Virginia. Ashanti, good morning. How are you doing?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
The Giants winning this weekend.
Well, I'm sure that'll make a lot of Giant fans happy.
Oh, of course.
Why do you think the Giants are going to beat Dallas?
Oh, of course. We always will. Thanks. We ain't going to beat them the second time. Just watch and see.
All right, Ashanti, you got anything else you want to say?
I love Big Blue.
Great. Appreciate the call, Ashanti. Thanks so much. Oh, man. That's a good way to start it off, eh, Lance?
Yes. Can't think of a better way to get this morning show up and running.
Well, let's see if Len in Maryland can help us recover a little bit. Len, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you, Len?
Well, obviously a big game this weekend. I mean, that's the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
Who would have thought we'd be in this situation? And hopefully by Sunday night, we are indeed 5-6. If I can digress for just 30 seconds, I promise I won't take too long. Well, 50 years ago today, a terrible tragedy in America, and the NFL chose to play their games that weekend. And unfortunately, Dad and I chose to go to the game that Sunday, Old Yankee Stadium, Giants, St. Louis Cardinals. And it's stuck in my mind ever since. I wish the NFL had canceled. I wish we hadn't gone. But we did. The Giants actually lost that game that day. I don't know if you guys know that. But there was no radio broadcast, no TV broadcast, no newspaper coverage. It was just, I'm not sure everybody wanted to play. It was sold out. Everybody showed up.
So really, it was actually a full building, Len?
A full building, and it was a full building throughout the NFL that day.
What was the mood in the building? And did the Giants or the NFL do anything pregame, you know, because of the assassination or anything? Did they try to make it feel like a regular football game?
They try to make it feel like a regular football game. The only announcement that they made, and of course it was shocking to a lot of people, although I must say I was sitting in the parking lot at the original Yankee Stadium just outside. It's now a beautiful athletic complex there at the old Yankee Stadium site, and listening to the radio with my father. Of course, there was no pregame show. It was all about the Kennedy assassination.
Right.
And the coverage of Lee Harvey Oswald being taken out of the Dallas jail and being transferred somewhere else, and I'm listening intently with my father, and all of a sudden the announcer starts screaming, somebody just shot Lee Harvey Oswald, and we just kind of looked at each other like, oh my God, I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, I didn't realize, you know what, I knew that happened a few days afterwards. I didn't realize that happened on the Sunday right before some of the NFL games started.
It happened on that Sunday, and
wow.
I was in the parking lot with Dad listening to that broadcast. And as I remember it, the only announcement that was made was that Oswald had been shot inside the stadium. But most people got to their seats and didn't know what had happened. They'd been riding the subways, whatever.
Right.
And, a second of a sad day. Of course, not as sad as that Friday. I'm sorry I took so much time.
Now, Len, you know what? Hold on. I have a question. Did people tailgate back then? Like, when they're in the parking lot at Yankee Stadium getting ready for the game, did people, like, have a pre-football game tailgate? How did that work?
Well, not to the extent that
right.
they have it today.
Of Obviously.
Course, in those days, the game started later. They started at 2 o'clock. And there was a little munching going on in the parking lot, but it was mostly sandwiches.
Okay.
You know, they'd unpack the sandwich in the brown bag and stand out outside and maybe drink a beer or a soda or whatever. But not to the extent today. And, of course, the parking lot's... You know, the old Yankee Stadium, I mean, there weren't those kinds of parking lots. I mean, this was a relatively small lot. It was just adjacent. There was a baseball field there, handball courts, et cetera, and maybe a lot for 300 people. And then you were parking 300 cars. And then you were parking at other parts around. I mean, it was in the middle of the city like it is today.
Well, then, obviously, and in fairness, it's hard to put, like, a barbecue in a tent on the back of the horse and buggy that you guys were taking to the game, right?
There you go. As I remember, it was my father's 52 Oldsmobile.
Nice.
But and this was 1963. But that was Dad. He hung on to his cars forever and ever.
What's your take on the game, Len?
Okay, here we go. Listen, enough philosophizing. I'm going to plain and simple. Two goals for Sunday. Two goals to victory. Two goals for Sunday. This is Tom's pregame speech. Goal number one, win. Somehow, some way, play by play, win this football game. Goal number two, wipe the smile off Tony Romo's face early and often in the first period. Let's go, Giants. We'll talk Monday. Giants are going to win this game. Okay, guys.
Thank you, Len. Appreciate the call, bud. 201-939-4513. Len, Lance, that's a little history lesson from Len in Maryland right there.
Well, we always rely on Len to add some historical perspective to the show. And I'm glad you worked in horse and buggy because I haven't heard that term in quite some time. So I pat you on the back at least for that.
I thought you would like that. And we will get back to our calls in just a second, Lance. I want to touch a little bit on this game, though, coming up here. And I mentioned this to Mickey as I say goodbye to him, and I kind of want to build on it now. You know, neither the Cowboys pass rush or the Giants pass rush, the Cowboys, a lot because of injuries to both, you know, Jay Ratliff is obviously off the team now. He missed the entire season. DeMarcus Ware has been hurt. Jason Hatcher missed their last game. They haven't been able to get their pass rush going. And the way Monty Kiffin runs his defense is he wants to get pressure with the front four. They have not gotten as much pressure as they would like, especially recently. And really, one of the big reasons the Giants haven't been the best against the pass this year is their pass rush hasn't gotten going. But at the same time, neither offensive line is playing great football either. So something's got to give here. Can one of these defensive lines, do you think, break through this week and really take the opposing quarterback out of rhythm?
Well, both of these offensive lines, as you just alluded to, John, had been dealing with injuries since the start of the preseason. So it really had been a game of musical chairs. I think both offensive lines, though, are at a point where there's some stability because they've had the last few games where the same five guys have played alongside one another. But the Cowboys were experimenting early in the season. The Giants were experimenting early in the season. To me, I would give the Giants the edge in the pass rush department only because JPP looks like he's returning closer to full form each and every game. He's regaining his confidence. Whereas with respect to Dallas, you know, outside of George Selvey, John, no one has really been that consistent in getting to the quarterback. Selvey has 6 sacks. Hatcher does have 7, but, you know, who knows how healthy Hatcher is? You're dealing with a neck injury, and they also rely on Hatcher to stop the run. And I don't know if he single-handedly is going to be able to resurrect this defensive line. So to me, I think the Giants have a little bit more confidence. If anything breaks their way, it would probably be their pass rush.
Yeah, and who knows how healthy DeMarcus Ware is either, coming off of that quad injury. He re-aggravated it, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. And he didn't look quite like himself even before he retweaked it in that Saints game.
Well, DeMarcus Ware has been an injury-plagued player for the most part throughout the course of this season, but he's been able to play through it, and he rarely misses games. But you're seeing that it's starting to take the toll on Ware, and they need him to be the Pro Bowl type of player that he has been. And I think they were also banking, John, on having Anthony Spencer play a full 16-game slate opposite him, because the whole point of changing this scheme to 4-3 was to take two guys who primarily were linebackers, have them put their hands in the dirt, and be effective off the edge. And that has not come to fruition yet. George Selvey's been a pleasant surprise, but DeMarcus Ware hasn't been able to get going, and that's put a lot of pressure on the secondary, a lot of pressure on the linebacking core. But they've been so hammered by injuries, just as the Giants were in years past, it's hard to overcome that.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's go down to Victor in Texas. Victor, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, man. What's going on, guys?
How are you, Vic?
Hey, this is probably the biggest game in a long time for the Giants. I mean, usually, you know, games aren't of this magnitude. I mean, if we can actually pull this off, we could probably, you know, just sink the Cowboys in this division, and we just tear their hearts out, because we started off 0-6, and if we could actually be tied for them, it would be tremendous for us in our division. But three things I look for in this game is, first of all, turnovers. Whoever can maximize off of turnovers, change field position, is going to win the game. Whoever can stop that team's running game is going to have a better chance to win the game. And who can make plays on special teams? Now, offensively, if we can run the ball on the Cowboys, it's going to open up our pass game. And the same thing could go for the Cowboys. If they open up their run, it's going to effectively open up their passing game. So we have to stop DeMarco Murray. That's the key to this game to me. Stop DeMarco Murray from running. We keep the ball in Tony Romo's hands. He's going to have the ball longer, which gives our pass rush enough time to get to him. You know, we got to get our hands on Dez Bryant. We saw the blueprint against the Saints. Be physical with the wide receivers. I know Miles Austin is coming back, but I think his hamstring is going to give out in the third quarter. He's like Mr. Hamstring.
He is Mr. Hamstring. That's true.
Yeah. So I mean, and plus special teams. They got that guy Harris. I mean, he changes field position. So we got to be very, very, very good on covering him on punts and kickoffs, because we can't let him change the game on one play. We got to make the Cowboys drive. We can't have them have big plays. And lastly, if we can't stop their pass rush, I mean, Jim Cordell, Will Beatty, Kevin Booth, Justin Pugh, these guys got to play their butts off this game. And I think the Giants do it. I think the Giants come out with a win here, 28-21. That's my prediction. Giants will win this game 28-21.
All right, Victor.
Got to be able to do those things.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. And Lance, I really think Victor hit it on the head with all of his keys there. But the one offensive lineman he didn't mention is David Deal, and he has the unenviable task of trying to block Jason Hatcher on Sunday.
Well, Hatcher is now back in the mix, as we were talking about, and as Mickey mentioned off the top of the show, he's one of the players that had been really banged up the last few weeks. Also, there's some issues from a contractual standpoint that have caused some tension with him and the team, but, you know, he leads the team in sacks. He's very effective against the run. And the last thing you want to do is give up pressure up the middle, because Eli Manning in games past, although he's shown progress, John, the one thing that has been noticeable is when he gets pressure in his face, he's prone to making bad decisions. You go back to that Raiders game where he gets picked off by Tracy Porter, he had pressure in his face. So Dallas is going to try to do everything it can to fluster Manning, since that played very well into their hands in game number one. But to piggyback off of the points that Victor brought to the table, John, I think one of the biggest keys in this game, and maybe I'm simplifying things, is protect the football.
Yeah.
Because this defense is very average, John, when they do not get the takeaways.
No doubt about it. And, you know, the Dallas is plus 11. The Giants are minus 11, but in the last four games, the Giants are plus 5. And obviously that has coincided with their winning streak. You protect the football, you win games. And how about Dallas this year? Since 2009, Lance, when the Dallas defense does not have a takeaway, they are 0-16. So if the Giants protect the football, they're going to be in pretty good shape on Sunday afternoon.
This Cowboys defense actually reminds me of the Bears defense from a year ago, where it led the league in takeaways but gave up big yardage.
Yeah.
So the way that they were able to cover up some of their issues was have all of these turnovers. So Dallas is the same way. They're going to sacrifice big yardage, but they're going to take some chances, so hopefully they can force some turnovers. And that has worked out at times, but as you mentioned, when they don't get the turnovers, all of a sudden Dallas can't come up with stops. So if the Giants don't play right into the hands of that type of game, I think it's going to be very difficult for Dallas to consistently contain Eli Manning and company.
All right, and one other thing I will point out, and another one of Victor's points was getting pressure on Tony Romo. Well, in Giant wins against Tony Romo over the course of his career, the Giants have averaged 9.5 hits on him per game. That's sacks and knockdowns, versus only 5 in losses. So certainly putting pressure on Tony Romo, a big key to victory. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dennis in Pittsburgh. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Lance.
How are you?
I'm well. And I want to reinforce what Lance just said about, the line and David Deal. I think watching him, there was a really nice pass play. It was a plus 20 pass play to Victor Cruz off, and Eli sort of settled it in between two, three defenders. And it was a nice little play. But watching, David Deal was just getting shoved straight back. And this pressure coming up the center of the line, the offensive line. I mean, it was only a matter of a millisecond before Eli was going to feel pressure. And you could see David Deal just could not handle the pass rush. He was, he was giving way. And maybe that's the technique, I suppose, to just give certain amount of yardage back, you know, not giving the whole thing away. But he was about to get shoved back into Eli as Eli was letting go of the pass.
Hey, look, honestly, you're right. And, Dennis, in all seriousness, getting pushed back into the quarterback is really never part of your technique. So I just think at this point, David Deal lost a lot of weight in the offseason to try to get ready to play tackle, and he's been thrust into guard now, and I think it's been a bit of a difficult transition for him. And look, we all know David Deal's running towards the tail end of his career here with the Giants. He's not playing the same level of football he did when he was in his prime years, which is understandable. He's on the wrong side of 30. It happens to every other player in this league, and there's nothing wrong with it. He's been a great Giant, but how he deals with Hatcher and how Pugh deals with Selvey. And Selvey gave him a lot of issues in week number one. He's 270 pounds, which is these days fairly big for a defensive end. Justin Pugh's a little undersized for a right tackle still. How those two guys on the right side handle the Cowboys' pass pressure will probably determine how this Giants offense is going to play this week.
Yeah. Let me just say this about if you can predict, the only place that I can see where there's a real weakness, it continues to be the offensive line. And I felt like that they were improving. I felt that for that stretch of period where the four games were won, that they seemed to be getting better. But I don't think that they're going to be getting much better than they're playing right now. I don't think they'll get any better. Do you agree?
Lance, go ahead.
Well, in terms of the offensive line, you know, listen, you would assume by now, based on the fact.
I meant the offensive line.
Yeah, well, in terms of the offensive line, Dennis, I would think that considering they've had numerous games under their belt where the same group has been out there, that they would be a little bit more consistent and that you wouldn't see some of the pass protection issues. So I understand your point where if they're not getting to the point of consistency now, what makes you think that in a game or two it will drastically improve? But the one thing that at least you need to take away from the offensive line is I think the running game has improved. They're not getting big chunks of yardage, but they are winning the battle at the line of scrimmage from that perspective. So they have shown signs of progress from that side of things. And I think part of it is also, keep in mind, if the offensive line is going to have some of its issues moving forward, it also falls on the shoulders of Eli Manning, Dennis, to say to himself, you know what, at times I've got to throw the football away. If I'm going to see pressure, I don't need to be the hero and I don't need to have to overcome some of those obstacles. So it really goes hand in hand with the offensive line and the quarterback. I think they can both come halfway. That should get better moving forward.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. Have a good one, buddy. 201-939-4513. And Lance, I should mention, Kevin Gilbride did address the media the other day. And I got the sense, just from hearing him talk and the way he was talking about it, I think the Giants are going to try to scratch the itch a little bit this week. You know, you go back, you look at the tape from the first game, three wide receivers, 100 yards, Eli Manning, 400-plus yards through the air passing. I think, and I'm looking up the weather right now, depending on the weather conditions, I could really see the Giants trying to get back to getting the ball downfield, which could potentially put Eli Manning into some dangerous situations.
Or you wonder on the flip side, John, do they really want to set the tone on the ground? I mean, if it's extremely windy, I remember a few years ago there was that game where the Giants played the Redskins, and it was in December, and Manning threw 52 times, and the Redskins had Todd Collins as their quarterback, and that game was miserable for the Giants. Now, they had some windy conditions against the Raiders. It didn't necessarily hurt them, but I think you really need to say to yourself, if you're Kevin Gilbride, if it gets bad as this game moves along, I would think you want to get back to the game plan where you can run the ball about 30 times and you can win the time of possession and keep Tony Romo on the sideline and just wear down this Dallas defense. Because as attractive as it is to go for the big play, and Dallas has not shown that it could stop the big play, I think with a lot of these guys still not fully healthy, I want them on the field. And I want them on the field for 90% of this game, and you want to give Tony Romo limited opportunities to play catch-up.
No doubt about it. And look, we've talked about the Cowboys' defensive issues. They've given up a ton of big plays. They've had 29 touchdown drives against them of 60 or more yards, which is the most in the NFL. They've given up 25 20-yard plays or more on first downs, most in the NFL. But, as you mentioned, right now the weather forecast on Sunday calls for about a high of 32, low of 21, wind at 24 miles an hour. So it's going to be cold and it is going to be windy on Sunday, Lance. And you wonder how much that's going to affect both teams' game plans, neither of which has run the ball particularly well this year. In fact, how about this number? Do you know that the Giants and the Cowboys have the exact same number of rushing yards this year at 770?
And they're also averaging the same amount of yards per game at 77, which ranks them 28th, which is quite comical considering how bad the Giants' running game has been. And I know Dallas has had some injuries. You would think they'd be a little bit higher in the rankings, but things have come complete full circle since the start of this season.
No doubt about it, and you wonder if these teams are going to be affected by that weather. We'll have to wait and see to see if that wind is that big of an issue. And the wind could affect special teams as well, considering how Weatherford struggled in the wind a couple of weeks ago. 201-939-4513. Back to our phone. Steve is in Washington, D.C. Steve, good morning.
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling, Steve.
Listen, don't let my calm voice, you know, fool you all how excited I am about this game, man. I mean, I'm really having a hard time containing myself, but I just wanted to, you know, agree with the last caller, and, you know, in regards. Well, first of all, let me forget that. I just want to say this, guys. You know, we need to approach this, you know, offensively the same way we need to do defensively. We cannot be aggressive defensively at all, especially early on in the game. I think that first of all, Jason Garrett is going to try to, you know, do a little bit too much offensively. I think that they're probably going to try to do some things that they haven't shown this far this year. So I think, you know, we need to run the ball early, not only, you know, to try to push the ball. I don't know what the weather conditions are, but, you know, just to keep Tony Romo off of the field and keep our offense, you know, and keep our offense on the field and let, you know, keep their defense on the field, like you were saying, as far as trying to wear them out and let these injuries do whatever is going to happen, you know, naturally throughout the game. But, you know, I feel good. I really feel like it's going to come down to, you know, the coaching, because we are kind of evenly matched, but I feel like we just have a deeper bench. And, you know, as far as the players, outstanding players, I'm really expecting and hoping, I should say, Linville Joseph to come up the middle and have his day with Romo, and hopefully Tuck will have a huge game. But I also think that, you know, I want two questions before I get off, guys.
Sure.
I want to know about Marcus Kuhn. Do you expect to see him playing?
I would not expect a lot of playing time out of Marcus Kuhn, Steve. I think they like their defensive tackle rotation with Patterson, Hankins, and Joseph, and Jenkins.
Cool. Well, let's hope we have a huge day on special teams. I think we need to, you know, just run the ball as early and soften up the defense. And then look for some, you know, some big plays later on in the game. But last, before I get off, guys, I just want to know, because no one has brought up David Wilson in about a week and a half, and I feel bad for the guy. I just want to kind of know what was going on with his health, you know, physically, and where you guys might see him being mentally now that the team is winning. And I just want to know, how's this young guy doing? So thanks for taking my call, guys, and hopefully, you know, we'll be talking about it. Huge victory on Monday.
Thanks, Dave.
I'll listen off air. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Well, honestly, I haven't seen David Wilson around the facility a whole lot. I mean, he's working, he's rehabbing, he's on IR. He's not going to come back this year. I'm sure he's disappointed to not be a part of this Giants resurgence and the comeback. I'm sure he's struggling with it mentally. I would be, too. You want to be a part of it. But the only last word we had was the one that the team announced a couple weeks ago. The MRI results after the bye were improved. They're not good enough where he can play yet. He's obviously not going to play this season. And the Giants just hope that they can get this thing settled, Lance, so he can be a part of this offense once again in 2014.
He's got to get back to 100%. He's got to get healthy. I mean, that's his biggest priority at this point. You could basically throw him in the same category as a guy like Stevie Brown, who is probably feeling the same way, John.
Yeah.
He was anticipating to be a big factor this season, considering all the turnovers and that breakout campaign that he had the other year. And unfortunately, he tears his ACL, and they're without him. So, you know, David Wilson, these guys are watching from the sidelines. The same could be said for the David Bosses and the Chris Sneeze of the world. You know, there were a lot of veterans that were expected from day one to be big contributors. Unfortunately, you know, from afar, they're trying to be supportive. That's all they could do at this point. But those guys got to focus on their health. I mean, that's what the focus has to be. They can't start worrying about, well, if I was in the game right now, what would I be doing to help this team?
201-939-4513. Lewis is in Manhattan. Lewis, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Lou? A
couple of quick things from me. One was the previous caller stole my thunder a little bit, but for running game, I do think they have to hold on to the ball, and I think time of possession and field placement is going to be really, really key this week. Question number one is, Peyton Hillis, have you heard if he's going to be active or not?
I'd say probably not at this point, only based on the fact that the Giants didn't activate him last week. I think they're sticking with Michael Cox as their kickoff returner, And if that's the case, they like Brandon Jacobs in short yardage, and they think Andre Brown's their number one guy, and they don't want to activate four backs. So I could be wrong, but my guess at the moment would be that Peyton Hillis will be inactive on Sunday. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think that's what the team's going to do.
Okay, got it. And then on the other side, on the corners, is it still looking like it's going to be McBride on one side and the Prince on the other side? Because one of my concerns, you know, these guys can go three out, spread out three, spread out four, particularly with Harris and so forth. Are those two guys going to be the corners, and what's the story with Hosley?
Yeah, I think you'll have the same starting three you had last week. I'm counting three starters because you're a nickel most of the time, and you're going to play a lot of nickel against Dallas with McBride, and Prince outside and Terrell Thomas inside. If Corey Webster's active, I think they'll manage his snap count an awful lot. His action will be limited. And then you have Jaron Hosey coming back from that hamstring. He's probably still a little bit rusty, and I'd be worried about putting him out there if he has to guard like a Miles Dawson in the slot or something like that. But you're right. Lou, he's probably going to have to play a little bit. One of those fourth cornerbacks are, because the Cowboys will go four wide, especially with Miles Austin back. They can put Beasley out there with Austin, Terrence Williams, and Dez Bryant, and those are four very good wide receivers. And then, heck, Dwayne Harris can go five wide if they want, and then the Giants really have to have some issues covering people outside.
Well, I'm sure they're going to be studying the Green Bay tape, and they saw how McBride got beat a couple of times deep last week, and that's, you know, these guys are more talented, I think, than the Green Bay receivers. So those corners, I think that's the key right there. How well do they play this week?
Lewis, I'm with you. I agree 100%. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate
okay.
it. And Lance, right. we talked about this. The Giants' corners, in a lot of ways, have been hidden the last few weeks, considering the quarterbacks the Giants have played, and quite frankly, the receivers the Giants have gone up against. The Raiders don't have a lot of game-breaking wide receivers. The Vikings don't have anybody that, you know, is really going to kill you. Greg Jennings is fine. Jerome Simpson is fine. But you have no world beaters on that team. But the Giants' corners are going to be tested this week against one of the most explosive and unique and varied wide receiver core in football.
And you wonder whether or not they're going to be able to double-team Dez Bryant much, since a lot of teams have shown that in games past, and it's been effective because it's mentally got to Dez Bryant, and he seems to get frustrated. But now that Miles Austin is back, as you mentioned, how greedy can you be where you bring two guys to solely focus on Dez Bryant, because you still have Jason Witten to worry about, and you can't overlook a guy like Terrence Williams, who has numerous touchdowns on the season and has a number of big catches. So I think when it comes down to it, it's not so much about double-teaming guys, but it's about being aggressive at the line of scrimmage. Because in the first game, remember, John, Dallas got rid of the football very quickly. And even if you go back to that game last season, the opener, when Kevin Ogletree went off, all of those were off of slant routes.
Yep.
Very quick, they would get him open. So to me, the best way to counter the Dallas passing attack, don't let these guys get comfortable off the line of scrimmage. Don't even allow them to catch a five-yard pass.
Hey, look, we saw in week number one, the Giants put a guy over the top on Dez Bryant, and Miles Austin and Jason Witten combined for 18 catches. Now, like you mentioned, a lot of that stuff was short stuff, and the Giants, I think, will accept Tony Romo completing 30-plus passes for under 300 yards, because that means the ball's not going down the field. But you're right. I think you have to control Dez Bryant, but then you have to trust your other guys to not get beat man-on-man down the field by the likes of Harris, Austin, Terrence Williams, or even Beasley, who is very quick and tough to cover in the slot.
Well, a lot of these guys have also got plenty of experience because of the injuries. So I know Mickey off the top of the show mentioned that, you know, they don't have a great deal of experience under their belt, but I would say in recent history, they've been able to run numerous routes and get a taste of the NFL. So that, I think, is going to bode well for them if a guy like Miles Austin aggravates an injury during the course of this game, because as Victor pointed out, John, his hamstring is a nightmare waiting to happen. He very rarely gets through an entire game. But I also wanted to piggyback off of the point that you brought up, and there's been a lot of chatter about, you know, the Giants haven't been tested during the course of this winning streak, and that's fine. And I hate to criticize a team because they have no control over their schedule, but John Beeson to me brought up a great point, John, during the course of this week. You look at the quarterbacks, that's one thing, but nobody's talking about how effective the Giants have been against the run.
That's fair.
They've taken big running backs out of the equation, so I think that's also affected the quarterback play. And if they could do the same thing against Dallas, even though it's Tony Romo, you're making a very good offense one-dimensional. So that gets overlooked, and I think the Giants deserve more credit for how effective they've been against the run, even though they haven't been tested at the quarterback spot.
And DeMarco Murray has actually had more success than a lot of other running backs going up against this Giants defense. He almost rushed for 100 yards, over 4 yards per carry in that Week 1 matchup. And the Cowboys like to run him outside the tackles. In fact, they like to run a lot of their running game outside the tackles. And I think that will provide a little bit of a different challenge for the Giants' run defense than they've gotten in weeks past against these teams that like to run it, you know, between the hashes.
Well, the linebackers have been very active over the last few games, and Beeson's talked about the impact that he's had on guys like Jaquan Williams, who have elevated their play, Keith Rivers. Paysinger is now more of a special teams guy, so you would assume that they've had enough opportunities to be on the same page over the last few games that if they do ride DeMarco Murray and he does go off the edges, as you mentioned, that guys like Jaquan Williams will be in perfect position so that they can help that front four.
Let's go back to the phone calls at 201-939-4513. Matt is in Jackson, New Jersey. Matt, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, Matt. What's up?
I just wanted to talk about the Giants' offensive scheme. You know, I feel like our defense is just going to come out and they're going to do their thing. You know, they've been playing great over the last four games. A lot of that has helped with John Beeson. But, you know, I feel like our offense needs to come out the way that they came out 2 years ago against the Packers, where we throw a touchdown bomb to Travis Beckham, like, for 70 yards. You know, we can't come out with this conservative Kevin Gilbride draw play on second down. Now we have third and long. You know, I feel like we really need to take advantage of this Dallas poor defense.
I think that's what the Giants would do, to be quite honest with you, if the weather was going to be better, Matt. But I think with the 25-mile-an-hour winds that are being predicted, temperatures are going to be probably in the upper 20s by the time kickoff rolls around at 425. I wonder if that instinct to attack this Cowboys secondary, which makes a lot of sense considering how bad they've been, is going to be changed a little bit because of the weather conditions.
Oh, no, I totally agree. But, you know, the weather, that's the easiest job in the world to predict the weather because, you know, it doesn't matter what you say, it's going to change regardless.
Right.
You know, if you know, obviously it's going to be cold. You know, we've had a really cold week. It's going to be cold. The wind is the Meadowlands. It's going to happen. Eli's played this way before. You know, it's really about opening up that playbook. Kevin Gilbride needs to open up that playbook and not play so conservative. You know, we really need to take advantage of this. This is our Super Bowl. This is our Super Bowl. If we don't win this game, our season is over.
Yeah, Matt, I hear you. But remember, when the Giants played the way you want them to play the first six games of the year, they were minus 16 in the turnover ratio, and that's when they made a lot of their mistakes. So there is a trade-off when it comes to being very aggressive and potentially making some mistakes when you're trying to get the ball down the field.
Oh, I totally agree. But our offense is a different team now. You know, with the blockers that we have now, even John Connor, hopefully he can play. You know, even our offensive line is a different offensive line than it was the first three games of the season. Eli had no time to get rid of the ball. Not that he has a lot of time now, but, you know, I feel like, we can get the ball out. We can get the ball out of Eli's hands without too much pressure. And if we can open up that playbook just a little bit more, nothing too crazy, I feel like we can definitely walk all over the Cowboys.
All right, Matt, appreciate the call, pal.
All right, thank you.
And quite frankly, Matt, I think if the Giants and Kevin Gilbride have their way, I think, Lance, that they do want to try to test the Cowboys down the field. And who could blame them? The Cowboys got eaten up by the Saints through the air. They got eaten up by the Lions through the air. Go back to Week 1. This Giants offense killed them with the passing game. Over 400 yards passing, three receivers at more than 100 yards. I get the instinct to try to go down the field on these guys. I really do.
Well, John, that's why I think Matt needs to keep into consideration what we've been talking about the last few weeks. This is not the first matchup where the Giants have gone up against a defense that has been shredded for big yards, and it hasn't necessarily always turned out so favorable
right, where
the Giants follow the trend. You know, we were talking about this with respect to the Raiders, with the Panthers, so I understand where Matt's coming from and says, wow, this is attractive because Dallas has been giving up 600 yards in some games, but that doesn't mean, given the weather conditions, that it's all of a sudden going to follow that same script. However, I will say this, John. I think given that the secondary's banged up for the Cowboys, you need to test these guys early if you're Kevin Gilbride. How healthy, how effective is Morris Claiborne going to be? You need to see that. You can't wait till the fourth quarter to determine. And if they move Orlando Scandrick around, he's been on the outside. Will he transition back to the slot very smoothly? You need to test these guys. You need to be able to at least see what works early, and then that should impact your game plan moving forward.
201-939-4513. Charlie's in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, I listened to, I heard Jerry Jones say the other day that his offense has got to be more imaginative, more creative. So, I hope you guys get to see some of the players, because I think the first play they're going to bomb, they're going to go for a bomb to Austin, or they're going to fake the run and they're going to go long.
I can see it. I agree.
Because what they want to do is take the crowd out of the game, because you know everyone's going to be so hyped. So, and they're going to do some reverses, you know, wide receiver reverses. They're going to do a bunch of trick stuff. That's my prediction. That's my feeling. And I just hope the Giants' DBs are prepared for that, because I think first play they're gonna throw a bomb to quiet everything down and hopefully get a score, or at least, you know, shut everybody up for a little while.
You know, Charlie, I think it's going to be interesting, too, depending on which team wins the opening toss, whether they're going to receive or if they're going to defer. Because of the wind, you wonder if a team is going to be more interested in taking the wind in the second half and getting the second half kickoff than maybe starting the game with the football. I think that'll be an interesting choice, whichever team happens to win the coin toss.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if Giants get the toss, I mean, they'll take the wind, you know, and let them have the ball first.
Yes, you know, it's always funny. You know, I thought they would have done that too, but then 2 weeks ago against Oakland, when it was just as windy, the Giants chose to receive and didn't take the wind. So I think I'll be very interested to see where the Giants go with that decision this week.
Well, I think they'll see that it was a mistake when they made that. But the other thing is, too, I just think the Giants have got to have a pass rush on Romo. If they don't, our secondary is not going to be able to stay with these guys for a long period of time. And I know Romo, you know, three-step drop and he gets rid of it. But if we can just harry him, be in his face a bit, I think that's going to be the key. If we can do that, then our secondary is going to be fine. If not, it could be a long, long day. But, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be a high-scoring game, but you never know with the weather conditions and the wind and, you know, who knows. I think if it comes down to the running game, I think the Giants will have the definite upper advantage, you know, have the advantage on that, because I think we can definitely stop their run. But anyway, I'm looking forward to the game. I hope it turns out. I think it's going to turn out well. Like I said before, I think the game I'm kind of worried about more is the Washington game, but being at RFK and going down there. But so anyway, have a great weekend, guys, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Charlie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's go to Roldy in Bayshore, New York. Roldy, what's going on?
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing all right, Roldy. What's up?
Good, good. I mean, I can't wait until Sunday. I'm so excited. But the main thing that I really want to, you know, I want to see a coming out party for that defensive line. JPP, Tuck, you know, Joseph. They all got to, you know, step their game up this week. It's got to be hard hitting, you know, sacks on Romo. You know, I just want them to remember the first game of the season where, you know, we just, you know, kind of got torched by Romo. So I hope that they have that in the back of their minds, you know, and attack. But my question to you is, who's going to cover Dez Bryant? You think it's Prince, or are they going to put Jermaine McBride on Bryant?
You know, Perry Fuel was asked this question yesterday, because generally speaking, Roldy, what the Giants like to do is keep their corners on their individual sides. The Prince will play on the left side of the offense, the defense's right side, and Jermaine McBride will play on the other end, and regardless of where the receivers are. So Fuel was asked yesterday, however, this week, considering how good Dez Bryant is and how dangerous he can be, would you consider, you know, just sticking one guy in Dez and having him follow him all across the field? And he kind of gave a little smile and said, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on Sunday. So he's certainly keeping his cards close to the vest. I'll put it this way. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you look out there, and you see Dez Bryant lined up man-on-man with Jermaine McBride, you'd be salivating, wouldn't you? And I think the Giants know that. So my guess is that Prince is probably going to be on him for most of this game. And if for whatever reason Prince is not on him, I'd expect a safety over the top, maybe even a linebacker inside, to give Jermaine McBride all the help he can get.
So we're probably going to double team them also, you think?
I would expect the Giants to, you know, not a true double team necessarily the way the Saints did it last week with two guys lined up in the line of scrimmage, but my guess would be the Giants will most times have a safety deep over the top on the side Dez Bryant is lined up on, because frankly that's something that's worked on this Dallas defense over the course of the season.
And that's why I'm saying that. I mean, the key is the defensive end. I know JPP said, you know, it's like that Super Bowl. I really want him to prove it. I really want him. I mean, he's starting to look good now, you know, but I really want to see Tuck. You know, he's been having a pretty decent season, under the radar season, you know, but I want to see that defensive line, like, you know, just look at Romo as a freaking steak and just go after him. And I really want them to do that, you know, just attack the back.
Thanks, Roldy. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
You know, Lance, it's funny. Roldy mentioned the attention that Dez Bryant, the Giants' defense, is sure to give. That's the trick, though. If you're going to put a safety over the top and double-team Dez Bryant, it's going to be hard to dedicate a fifth or probably never a sixth guy to blitz and get to the quarterback, which means it's going to be on this front four to beat that Cowboy front five.
Well, and Roley brought up JPP's play, and we were talking about the Cowboys' offensive line earlier, John, the fact that it's had some injuries, but the one guy that JPP's probably going to see a lot of is Tyron Smith, and let's be honest, Tyron Smith is probably their best offensive lineman.
Yeah.
He's playing at a Pro Bowl level this season.
No question about it. He was their first-round pick a few years ago, still, I think, only 22 years old, and he's really playing great at left tackle. It'll be a huge challenge for JPP. I'm very happy this guy got the call in with Lance not in the building. He's on location. Maybe I can hire this guy to be Lance's replacement, considering he's being lazy getting into the office. That's Vinny in Pennsylvania. Vinny, good morning.
What's up, fellas?
How are you, Vin?
Real good. I got something for you. Ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Dallas? So I had to call in and bring it back to 07, get the whole team balling. John Beeson, thank God he got called in. Leave Romo on the ground crawling while we celebrate another raw win. Yeah, I'm down with JPP. He's going to make some blocks, lay some hits, and send DeMarcus Ware's mouth to Quest Diagnostics. Shout out to Connor. Since we lost Rhinoceros, losing to Dallas, that's preposterous. Send props to Lenny and Vic in Texas. This is more than O's and X's. This is old school rivalry. A win is expected. I don't expect to lose. I can hear it now. Touchdown to Victor Lance. Who?
That's pretty good. Now, Vinny.
Where you at, Lance? You don't hear the line? Come on, Lance. Listen, I'll do it one more time for you. Send props to Lenny and Vic in Texas. All right. Oh, well, I thought Lance, because you now always get Lance to finish the lines. Whatever. But all right. I'm out, though. But listen, I think we're taking Dallas this week. I'm mad hype. I'm ready to go. All the haters earlier in the season told you to stay positive. Lance, John, enjoy the show. Take it easy.
Thanks, Vinny. Boy, Lance, I feel like you're really disappointed, Vinny and PA there. I think you need to hit Twitter and apologize for messing up the line.
Well, I will follow up. We're trying to work out the technological kinks here in the system. It's not very easy for both of us to talk simultaneously. So my apologies that I let Vinny down. But I have to give him credit because most rappers and most musical artists, as you know, John, could not work diagnostics into the rhyme scheme. So I like to see here that Vinny is upping his game just as the Giants need to with a big game on the horizon. So, you know, the vocabulary is expanding. And that means that Vinny has taken big strides since he first appeared on this show.
Yeah, and you figure that you'd be able to figure out how to finish the line with your own name, Lance, but I guess you were struggling a little bit there, huh?
I was. I fumbled that. That's on me. I've got to do a better job.
All right, let's go back to our calls and say hello to Randy in Virginia. Randy, what's going on, pal?
Guys, I was praying to God that I wasn't going to have to follow that guy. That is a tough act to follow right there.
Vinny is very talented.
Yeah, man, I called in a couple of weeks ago when some of the Giants fans were checking out and talking about draft picks. I said I was an optimist. I cited even the Seattle Seahawks and what they did when they robbed us of the playoffs back when the NFC West was weak and they got in at 7-9 and we were like 9-7. And I was saying I was hoping for something like that. Well, you know, with this kind of run, you know, we might be able to do something a little bit more. So, X's and O's, brother, I just want to say I am so proud of how this team is coming along there. It's, you know, normally a cliche, but they are literally getting better week by week. And I'm going to throw a couple of X factors out for the game. There's obviously the usual suspects. You need John Beeson to do his thing. You need T2 to do his thing. You need Roll to do his thing. I'd love to be down with JPP, but I'm going to throw out Jaquan Williams and Will Hill. This, if we shut down the running game like we should, like I hope we do, then they're going to really just open up the passing game, and they have no problem doing that. You talk about Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, Terrell, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, and I feel like I'm missing one. But, I mean,
Dwayne Harris?
Obviously Witten.
Then Dez Bryant, of course.
Dez Bryant, yes, of course. And, I mean, so you're talking about they go five wide, four wide, then, you know, everybody has to be accounted for, and we can't afford to really blitz unless someone's going to get there. Well, I really like Jaquan Williams being that fifth guy if they do that, but he's also their guy in coverage. And same with Will Hill. He's going to be a key factor on roaming the field and in coverage. But I'm excited, man. I smell blood. I smell blood, guys. Let's get it, Big Blue.
All right, Randy. Appreciate the call, man. I wouldn't worry so much about the Bloodlands. I just worry more about the wind.
Well, the wind is going to be a huge factor because, listen, it contributed to the Raiders' outcome game, so it shouldn't be a surprise if it obviously contributes to this game. And I think Charlie from Maine had weighed in, and I agree with him, and it's rare that I actually agree with Charlie, as you well know. But I think that the Giants are going to learn from their mistakes in that Raiders game, John. And I think if they have an opportunity, you would sacrifice the first possession, especially if you know that in the fourth quarter or the third quarter, you want to be in a favorable position compared to the win, knowing what Weatherford had to go through. So I think it's key the Giants win the coin toss. That may be an X factor that you want to throw into the mix. This could be a game where actually the coin toss could dictate who may have an edge in winning this contest.
No doubt about it. And again, you want to talk about, you know, JPP, there will be blood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whatever. Just win the football game. Don't worry about all those other extraneous nonsense. Go out there, play good, solid football, and win the football game. And by the way, my favorite part of that Vinny rap and rhyme, by the way, he actually rhymed preposterous with rhinoceros. That's pretty good.
I said the rhyme schemes are getting more complex.
They really
are. You have to give him credit for that.
201-939-4513. Big Ed is in Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed? Oh, we lost Big Ed? Oh. All right, screen some more calls. Maybe Big Ed called back. We like Big Ed. Get on that.
Do we have regular Ed on the phone?
No, we don't have regular Ed either.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
No, that's all right. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And Lance, I want to touch on a couple other things moving forward here with this Giants team. They've run the ball in terms of volume a lot the last few weeks. They haven't quite gotten the production, I think, they wouldn't necessarily like. They want to get that back over 4 yards per carry. Do you think, based on the fact the Cowboys do not have their starting middle linebacker, Sean Lee, they struggled in the second half against the Saints, are they going to be able to really get that running game going?
Well, I think that if they can get a good balance between Andre Brown and Brandon Jacobs, and we're assuming that both of those guys are going to be inactive, that this could be a game that they should be able to pick up where they left off. The numbers were somewhat down in the last contest in terms of the number of carries. The three previous victories, they had at least 30, and I think that's the number that Tom Coughlin has been pleased with. When you look at the middle of the field, I look at that as a big opportunity for the Giants, John, because the fact that they're not just missing Sean Lee, they're also missing Justin Durant, so you're going to have youth in that linebacking core. Ernie Sims, don't get me wrong, he's a veteran guy, he's a former top 10 pick, but there's a significant drop-off from Sean Lee to Ernie Sims, and even if it can't open the running game at least, John, and a lot of callers have echoed these sentiments the last few days, you would assume perhaps this could be a game that Brandon Myers see some golden opportunities to capitalize.
And the Cowboys' safeties have struggled as well. J.J. Wilcox will be back, replacing Heath back there, but they've had some issues in coverage at the safety position as well. 201-939-4513. Let me try this one more time. Let's go down to Maryland and say what's going on to Big Ed. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
How are you, man? What's up, Big Ed? Long time no speak.
Since the 4 in a row, man, this is great. The energy you guys are seeing, I mean, this is absolutely amazing. Honestly, did y'all ever see this coming? For real. Did you really see this coming?
I did not think once they were at 0-6 that they'd win four straight. Then again, I also thought Aaron Rodgers would be playing on November 17th. But look, to me, Big Ed, these next two games will validate whether or not this four-game winning streak was for real. And until they win these next two games, I'm not willing to say they're back, because if they lose any of the next two, really this season is more or less over. So win these next two, then the team is back, and I will be a believer.
Okay, actually, here it goes. This is how this is. See, the biggest thing is we've been 9-7 almost feel like for the last 3 years.
Right.
We finally need to become 10-6. Everybody in that locker room now knows there is no loss. We cannot lose. One game we lose, we're likely out of the playoffs. So we can't lose nothing. Nothing. I don't care. Everybody's saying how we would have a hard time with playing at San Diego. I think that's a bunch of bull. I think we can go to San Diego and kick their ass. Seriously.
Well, you know, Big Ed,
we got a running game and a passing game that can handle it.
Big Ed, in all seriousness, you can
improve because we got the health back.
You can probably afford one more loss this year. But here's the trick: that loss cannot come against Dallas or Washington. So if you lose one out of the three of San Diego, Seattle, and Detroit, you're probably going to be okay. But you cannot lose a game in the division.
That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. So we'll sweep the Redskins, and we'll beat Dallas. The key for us beating Dallas this week, though, for real, honestly, I really think it's just simple. From the first game we played in this season, and if you talk to the players later, wait a minute, let me ask you that. Are you going to talk to the guys later on?
I will.
Okay. You let them know, man. Y'all didn't lose. You tell them from Big Ed. Y'all didn't lose that game against Dallas. Y'all beat yourselves. Don't beat yourself this Sunday. That's it. You go out there, mistake-free football, don't turn the ball over, and less than three penalties, you win the game. You got a high probability of winning the game as long as we don't get key people hurt. Man, it is so difficult getting through things and not getting hurt. It's tough. It's a tough season.
Big Ed, I agree with you. Thanks a lot for the call as always, my friend.
And also, before I go, because I'm about to leave and you guys are finished, lock me in. December 15th against Seattle, my first home game.
Nice.
We're making it official.
We will make sure we say hi to Big Ed.
Yes, because we're going to meet each other and talk whole stuff.
All right, Big Ed. Appreciate the call, bud.
All right, you guys, man. Beat Dallas, man. Everybody, beat Dallas. Let's go.
All right, take it easy, man. Lance, always good to hear from Big Ed. He was positive at 0-6. At 4-6, he's through the roof.
Absolutely. Well, that's not a surprise. I just hope that Big Ed makes sure that he brings the camera when he does come to MetLife Stadium, because any opportunity you have to take a photo with John Schmelk is extremely memorable. So I just hope that Big Ed goes to the local stores and makes sure that he has all of the key ingredients once he arrives at MetLife Stadium, because that's a must.
Well,
got to take a photo.
When he arrives in New York, he can head over to Adorama, the official electronics retail of the Giant.
Wow. What a way to throw the sponsor in there. Very smooth. I got to give you credit for that.
Thank you. You know, they have great photography gear. He can hang out, and then he can come. He can visit us at the pregame show outside the stadium in the concourse by the West VIP gate, which, by the way, gets started at 2:10 on Sunday afternoon. Stop by, say hello, and we'll have a lot of fun, Lance.
And speaking of that, since I'm very high maintenance and we've been talking about the weather.
Oh, you want a heater, don't you?
Yes, I wanted to ask, well, not just one heater. I want to know if there's multiple heaters in the works, especially if it's going to dip below 30.
In the past, when we've dipped near the freezing mark, there have been space heaters put out there. So I have no reason to believe that's not going to happen, but I will make sure just for you, Lance. I will make sure today I make that phone call and make sure you have your little foot heater so you're okay on Sunday afternoon, okay?
Now, that is music to my ears. I am very happy that you will follow up on that, because I know how busy you're going to be today. So the fact that you'll take some time out of your schedule, that means an awful lot.
I like how Lance mocks me for being busy when he doesn't even, you know, decide to show up this morning.
Well, wait a minute. To give the full side of the story to all of our listeners, you need to at least explain that I will be arriving later today for Big Blue Hits.
Well,
I think that's only fair that everybody knows I will be making an appearance at the facility. A little unfair to throw me under the bus for not being there this morning.
Now, Lance did want us to hire a satellite truck and send it to where he is to do the hit later for Big Blue Hits, but unfortunately that was not in the budget.
That's right. We couldn't really break open the piggy bank, but that doesn't mean that it's off the table. It's still through negotiations being discussed for later on.
Lance, we appreciate the time this morning. Thanks so much, and we'll see you later for our Big Blue Hits this afternoon at 4 o'clock on Giants.com.
Sounds good. Should be a good one.
All right, Lance. Have a good one. That's Lance Meadow. We're going to continue to take your calls all this morning as long as they keep coming in. We have three guys on the line. Let's go to Anthony in Phoenix, Arizona. Anthony, what's up?
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, Anthony. What's on your mind today?
I'm excited about this weekend. Here's my thing for success this Sunday. Our front four, Tuck and Joseph and Jenkins and Jason and Kiwi thrown in the mix there and Patterson, they need to put pressure on Romo. Stop the run, of course, but put pressure on Romo and survive with just the front four so that we can keep our linebackers back in case we need to cover. And the other thing for me is we need our receivers to show up. You look around the league, it's frustrating that we relatively have a healthy receiving corps, and we're not doing much. And that really, really frustrates me because we have such talent out there. And you look around the league, there's a lot of other people that are hurt. Their receivers are hurt and out, and yet they're still putting up a lot of points. The Giants need to score. Dallas scores 27 points a game. We need to outscore them. And the only way we can do that is by our front four putting pressure on Romo and stopping that run by themselves. And then we can keep our guys back in cover, and they won't be able to do anything. What do you think?
You know what? It's funny. I'm feeling a fissure, Anthony, with Giant fans this week. One section is like you, and I understand where you're coming from. I really do, where you figure the Cowboys' offense has all this talent. They're going to score their points. As good as the Giants' defense have been for 4 weeks, you figure the Dallas is going to get into 24, 27 points, and you're going to have to outscore them. Then I'm sensing I see a lot of these guys on Twitter at hashtag Giants chat. They're making the point that, look, we got on this winning streak and started winning games by playing more conservative, throwing short passes, running the ball, not turning it over, relying on the defense. And I see a bit of a fissure here where fans seem to think there are different methods to go about in winning this game. Here's the way I see it. The weather is going to be a little bit rough. If this was pristine conditions, 50 degrees and sunny and no wind, I would honestly agree with you. I would throw the ball down the field. I'd air it out. I'd try to destroy this Cowboys defense the same way the Lions did, the same way the New Orleans Saints did, and I would try to take advantage of a defense that hasn't played well all season long. Unfortunately, if the weather is as bad as it's supposed to be, with winds between 25 and 30 miles an hour, temperatures in the high 20s, I think it might hurt that plan a little bit. So I think you go out there, you try to be aggressive early, you try to get the ball down the field, but you got to make sure you don't make the mistakes. And I think that's really where you could run into an issue going about your strategy. The Giants were minus 16 in the turnover ratio when they were trying to be a big play offense the first six games. It literally lost them football games. The question is now, with the progress they made, are they going to be able to open things up again without risking turnovers, without risking sacks, without putting your quarterback's health in danger? And I don't think that's a question we know the answer to. I think we'll know the answer to the question after Sunday because, like you said, I think Kevin Gilbride is going to scratch the itch this week. I think he's going to try to get the ball down the field.
Yeah, and definitely we need to take – if we win the toss, we need to take the ball and set the precedent and put them behind. If we can keep the Cowboys behind, they're going to be in catch-up ball and we can go attack. And with Brown, we just got to hold on to the ball. We have to hold on to the ball because they want to hold you up and strip you of that ball. They do that all the time. Instead of tackling people, they hold them up and bring over other people and try to rip that ball out. So we need to hold on to that ball.
That is what the Cowboys teach on defense. Rob Marinelli, get to the ball. The first guy holds him up. The second guy goes for the football. I appreciate the call, Anthony. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Hey, you have a good one. 201-939-4513. Adam in Columbus. We'll take three more calls before we say goodbye. Adam, what's going on?
Morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you, Adam?
I'm pretty good. Let me echo the sentiments of the last callers. I'm starting to get a little sensation of that 0-12 playoff run a little bit. It's a little premature, but what better week to start against Dallas on a four-game win streak, right?
Yeah, you know, Adam, it's funny. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and all during that 2012 season, I kept saying to people, look, guys, this Giant team's not playing that well. They're just not playing good football, but their defense really turned it on the final two regular season games and then heading into the playoffs. So if you can keep yourself in the race and get to 6-6, maybe this offense can find a way to be productive again, and with the way the defense is playing, then I'll believe this team could make a little bit of a run.
Absolutely. Stick around and then strike when it counts. We were also 30th in the league in the running game going into those playoffs. So,
yep, they were terrible.
It was what it is.
Yep.
Let me ask you this. With the weather what it's supposed to be, do you think Gilbride will continue to roll the dice, putting the ball in the air, or do you think you just go to the ground and try to feed Ernie Sims a steady dose of John Connor and Brandon Jacobs and, you know, Andre Brown over and over and make him reluctant to take the head-on collisions in the fourth quarter?
Like I said to Anthony, I think Kevin Gilbride wants to throw the ball in this game. I think he wants to go after Dallas. But that being said, remember, Dallas, once Sean Lee went out last week against the Saints, got absolutely run over. They gave up 250 yards of rushing in that game against New Orleans, and they couldn't stop the Saints on the ground. So I think the Giants will try to get the ball down the field, but I think they are going to try to be balanced and run the football as well. And again, I think let's wait and see to see how bad these weather conditions are, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do.
True. Good point. Well, that's all I got for you. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our final call of the show and go to Jesse in Maryland. Jesse, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, Jesse. What's up?
Hey, look, I just wanted to kind of discuss, the last few times I remember the Cowboys losing to the Giants, and you're talking about Dez Bryant's finger landing out of bounds, and then Tony Romo missing a wide-open Miles Austin a couple years ago when he beat Prince Amukamara, and I'm hoping that it doesn't come down to lucky plays like that this weekend.
Right.
I think a lot of the callers have highlighted that we got to start fast and we have to finish strong, which is very true. Frustrating. Dez Bryant, Tony Romo, and keeping DeMarco Murray contained is definitely big keys. But I think also, if I remember correctly, Tony Romo definitely, especially when he plays the New York Giants, gets the ball out of his hands quickly.
Yes.
First game, it was a couple of coverage sacks, and that was about it. So I think the front four, with Tuck playing on the inside, I think they always do really well when Tuck comes in from the inside, going back to the 07 Super Bowl season. So I think that the defense are going to have to, the front four especially, I think they're going to definitely have to show up, and they're going to have to really hit Romo hard. Quarterbacks under duress, as you can tell, like with Eli Manning, they don't do really well, throwing a lot of interceptions and stuff like that. So I think that's the biggest key.
Now, Jesse, you're right. And think of it this way, too. Lance and I mentioned this off the top of the show. They do try to get the ball out quick against the Giants, and you see a ton of quick, short passes in that first game of the season. The Giants' corners are going to have to be aggressive at the line of scrimmage here and get physical with these Dallas corners, especially if the weather's bad and Romo can't throw the ball down the field. You're not going to want to let him get those short 6-7 yard passes every down. So you're going to have to play a lot of bump and run. You're going to have to get in those wide receivers' faces.
You're absolutely right. And, hey, look, I really thank you for taking my call. Let's go New York Giants. Hopefully this is the start of a real great run to end the season. Thanks again.
All right, Jesse, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Great job on the phones today, everybody. I've kind of neglected Twitter. I'm trying to manage Lance on the phone, do calls. So let's see. And Giants Gab makes a good point. I was going to make this correction as well. Miles Austin did not beat Prince in that play. He beat Aaron Ross off the line of scrimmage. So, yes, that is true. But, boy, he was open, and that easily could have been a Cowboys win that would have knocked the Giants out of the playoffs in the Super Bowl season. Let's see. Two people, very disappointed we have not heard from Shakes down in Baltimore, Maryland. So, Shakes, I'm not taking any more callers, but if you call in, we'll put Shakes up. All right? So, Shakes, you're being called out by Twitter here. Marwan Ali at Marwan NY77. My biggest worry for this week's game is Dwayne Harris breaking the Giants' backs on special teams. Look, the Giants' special teams have made big mistakes all year, except for last season when they had a big punt return, stopped the Packers' fake punt. So hopefully they can keep that going. Dwayne Harris, though, very, very, very dangerous. Ben Gruen, a conservative offense, has won this team 4 in a row. Defense good enough to win close games, win the turnover battle, and run the ball. See, he's in that camp where you want to be a little bit more conservative, play defense, and run the football. D-line is key from Saraceno. Cowboys can't beat the Giants deep if they get to Romo. Get after him. Stu DiMeglio, let's see. No, nothing there. Trina NY, Eli usually does pretty good in cold weather and windy conditions, but this is a divisional game, which means anything can happen. Trina, he's been better recently, but in years past, Eli's numbers in November and December, not what they are earlier in the year. Usually the cold he's fine in is when you get the combination of wind and cold where he seems to have some issues from time to time. But Nothing too serious. He should be fine. Gary Ziskowski, past 5 or 6 years, every game between G-Men and Dallas has been close. And you know what? I had a great stat on this, Gary. This one will most likely not be any difference. Come on, people. And there was a great stat last year where something like 5 out of 6 games and went down to the final 2 minutes, and 3 of them were decided on the final play of the game. So he's right. These games are traditionally very close, and it should be very, very, very fun. And I think a better played game than we've seen the last few weeks as well. I think the Giants are building up to it, where they're playing better and better as the year's gone along. And the Cowboys are healthy coming out of the bye, and I think they're going to be a lot better on both sides of the ball as well. Callers, great job. Great job on Twitter, everybody, as well. Thanks for joining us. Lance and I will be with you this afternoon at 4 o'clock on BigBlueHitsOnGiants.com, and we will take your calls, and we'll, you know, answer your Twitter questions, and we'll break down hardcore preview Giants in Dallas coming up on Sunday at MetLife Stadium. Giants 1.5 games out of first place, 1 game behind the Dallas Cowboys. It should be a lot of fun. You can check out Lance, myself, Jeff Fiegels, and Paul Dottino on Coors Light Giants Game Day on Sports Radio 66, WFAN, and 101.9. WFAN FM New York on Sunday at 2:10. We'll also be in the plaza by the West VIP gate, not far from MetLife Central, on Sunday starting at 2:10. You can come check us out there as well. And, of course, Paul Dottino and I will have the preview report on Giants.com. We'll shoot that today. It'll go up tomorrow. All the preview you would ever want to get ready for Dallas and the Giants on Sunday. A must-win game for the Giants. You lose, your playoff hopes are all but extinguished. So the Giants will try to win their 5th straight, 3rd in a row at home, 4th in a row at home overall, but 3 in a row in consecutive weeks. And we'll see if the Giants can do it on Sunday. Everybody, enjoy your next day or so. We'll see you on Sunday. Should be a fun one. Be good.